Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Monday, March 3rd, 2014, and here are top stories.
Tonight, the trade war that threatens Europe and the FDA's plan to monitor social media. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Ask what you can do for the New World Order. You can work while we finish building the technocracy, and then you can die, and we're going to enjoy watching you die.
Well, it's been said that war is the lifeblood of the state. And of course, the Obama regime has been trying to start wars in Libya, Egypt, and tried to start it in Syria last year. Now it looks like they're going for a Cold War. That's right, going head to head with the Russians. We've had hot wars between surrogates. Now they want a Cold War, and now they're adding a trade war. As Paul Joseph Watson pointed out today, Gazprom is threatening to disrupt gas supplies to Europe. Russian-controlled natural gas giant Gazprom has threatened to disrupt gas supplies to Europe following warnings by John Kerry and others that harsh economic sanctions would be imposed on Moscow as the Ukraine crisis threatens to spiral into a trade war. Yes, not just Kerry can make economic threats. Russia can play the same game. And as he points out here in the article, he says, although the warning of a gas disruption to Europe is not being characterized as political payback, it would be naive to think otherwise. The Financial Times describes Gazprom's monopoly as a formidable weapon to deploy against Ukraine, noting that conflict with Russia would imperil one of the transit routes for gas to Europe. Now, Gazprom's announcement also follows these threats from John Kerry, of course, that he's going to isolate Russia economically. But we also see that a central banker is taking the company that actually transmits the gas across the Ukraine, and he's already putting that on the auction block. In a story from Kurt Nemo, he says the central banker, PM, says that Ukraine is ready for IMF auction block. This is another sign that what we're going to see here is a banker dictatorship selling off the assets of the country. On Monday, the central banker, the prime minister now of post-coup Ukraine, has signaled that the IMF is going to have a fire sale. Of course, the first one on the block is going to be this company that's going to be transporting the natural gas, but maybe Russia's going to beat them to it and cut the natural gas off. As they're saying here, the national oil and gas company of Ukraine will be put on the auction block. The pipelines are used to transit Russian gas to 18 European countries, including France and Italy. Now, listen to this quote from Forbes magazine. This is an interview with Vladimir Signorelli. He's president of an investment firm called Bretton Woods Research, LLC. And he told Forbes that Yatsenyuk is the kind of technocrat you want if you want austerity. We've heard that before. He says, with a veneer of professionalism, he's the type of guy who can hobnob with the European elite, a Mario Monti type. Unelected and willing to do the IMF's bidding. Exactly. You remember the person that he's talking about, Mario Monti. He's the guy that they kind of sarcastically called Super Mario. He's a banker who was put in place in Italy, just like we had another Goldman Sachs banker put in place in Greece. These bankers come in, they depose the elected officials of these countries, and then enact these austerity programs, which, by the way, always work out to the advantage of the IMF and the central bankers of other countries, as well as the large banks like Goldman Sachs. And this is what we see happening now here in Russia and the Ukraine. The same thing has been happening here in America, however. Just looking at people's reaction to Obamacare, finally, they're catching on to the fact that Obamacare is really something that was written for the insurance companies, not for the people of America. We've had our health care auctioned off here in America. They may be auctioning off the gas transit lines in the Ukraine, but we've had our health care auctioned off here to the highest bidder. That would be the insurance companies that are in bed with Obama. One-third of Americans are now saying that Obamacare has had a negative personal impact on them. This is a story on InfoWars from Kurt Nemo. He points out that 33% of respondents in a survey says that the law has hurt them directly. Earlier this year, it was just 29%. Only 14% have said that the plan helps them. Where do you want to be if you're a politician? Do you want to be with the 86% of the people, or do you want to be with the 14% of the people? Hopefully we're going to see this roll back, just as Ted Cruz said. He thinks he's going to get it repealed, every bit of it. That will happen if we can throw out the people, both Democrat and Republican, who put in Obamacare. This is nothing but a massive transfer of wealth. not from one class of America, not from the middle class to the poor. This is a transfer of wealth from everyone in America to the insurance companies. And if the poor people, the 14% or so who think that they're benefiting from this, if they really understood the impact on the economy, if they really understood how it affects employers, how it affects employment, how people are losing their jobs, losing hours, being put on part-time work because of Obamacare, if they really understood that, the number would be far lower than 14%. But Obama has got his pen. And he's got his phone, and he's doing photo ops and tweeting them out in the White House, showing what a tough guy he is as he deals with Putin. We see pictures of him that he tweeted out wearing his denim shirt and his denim pants. He's talking to Putin, and I love the comments that people put on Twitter. One of them says, here's a picture of him on the phone for 90 minutes with Putin, but he didn't tell us that he was on hold for the first 87 minutes. And another guy points out, well, he's got his phone, but how is he threatening Putin with his pen? Clearly clueless, but doing everything they can to start a trade war, to restart the Cold War, and we hope that won't lead to an actual hot war between the U.S. and Russia. But of course, they've had a hot war in all these other areas for quite some time. Now they're moving from the surrogates, they're directly attacking Russia. Understand that the Crimea has been in the Russian sphere longer than California has been a part of the United States. This is something that goes even beyond the reckless brinksmanship of the Cuban Missile Crisis, where Russia started pre-positioning missiles down around Cuba. This is like the Russians coming in and trying to separate out California from the U.S. Do you think there's going to be consequences for that? Do you think that's going to start another Cold War? I certainly think it will. I think we're seeing that already. Now, we've got the AT&T executive saying that he thinks that a parody of what they're doing with the NSA is actually making conversation impossible. He doesn't see the irony of that. Here's the headlines of the story from Steve Watson on InfoWars. He says, an AT&T executive says that a spoof of the NSA logo chills discussion on mass spying. Now, if you look at this logo that's down there, scroll that up, and we see the logo there, of course. This is something that was put out by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It shows an eagle with a headset on him. He's plugged the wires in, and right there in the center is AT&T. Why? Because AT&T has probably been embedded longer and deeper with the government on these spying on the American people than any of these other companies. Of course, they were the phone company for a very long time. And he's pointing out that this is something that chills conversation. They can't have a conversation about what the NSA is doing because this logo kind of chills that out. Well, what about when the government is spying on our conversations? Does that put a chill on our conversations? How do we have conversations that are open and above board when we know that the government is listening and watching everything we do? And it's interesting to note that this came from Mark Klein. This was a logo that was designed by Mark Klein. He was a whistleblower from AT&T. He was one of the first ones to point out that the NSA was in bed with AT&T. But this is what the executive says. He says, there's many of us at AT&T who are disturbed by what we're hearing about the NSA. But when you see that, pointing to the shirt, a conversation becomes impossible. And as Steve Watson points out, it's not just this logo where the AT&T executive is taking exception to it. Of course, the NSA tried to sue Dan McCall when he put spoof logos on T-shirts. And he's going to be a guest tomorrow on the radio show, on the Alex Jones radio show. He created several T-shirts that made fun of the surveillance state, and they came back and claimed that they had copyright on these designs. The government doesn't have copyright on anything. The government is not a private entity. They don't own these things. These are owned by the public. If we want to get footage that was shot by the Pentagon or someone else, as long as they release it, we don't have to even worry about fair use. It's copyright free. There is no copyright on things that are produced by the American government. It's there for the public, supposedly. But of course, they see themselves very differently. Again, tomorrow, Dan McCall will be on the InfoWars radio show, and we'll talk to him about his victory over this kind of chilling effect, real chilling effect on free speech. But it's not just the NSA. We see this happening with the FDA. They are spying on whistleblowers to protect Big Pharma. They are using the same tactics that the NSA uses. They have a situation where this is this weekend reported from Washington's blog, and this has been going on for a number of years, a couple of years now, where the surveillance state is attacking an FDA whistleblower. This fellow was head of the radiology department at Yale University. He noticed that a device that GE was building, of course, one of the preferred vendors of the Obama administration, but this GE device was putting out very high levels of radiation. He blew the whistle on it. And what the NSA did, I'll show you the NSA, it was actually the FDA. What they did was exactly what the NSA does. They bugged his computer. They took pictures of him with laptop pictures, and they used it to try to destroy his reputation online. That's it. The policy of personal attacks when you've got a whistleblower showing that the FDA is not doing their job, but letting one of the crony capitalist corporations get away with very dangerous practices. And we also see that they're now taking out a new request for proposal to have social engineers look at what you think about the FDA's releases. You know, they're feeding us poison, they're lighting poison into the food supply, fluoride, GMO, other things, and as outlets like InfoWars are talking about it, they want to see what we're saying. Where are people getting their information? What is the pulse of the public? The FDA now wants to monitor that on social networks. Well, you know what? They're not going to like what they hear. Listen to some of the things that they're going to be monitoring. The agency is looking for a contractor that's going to provide historical information about conversations that people are having on blogs, message boards, and social media sites about what the FDA regulates. They want to look at most cited news stories. They want to look at major themes of discussion, analysis of public sentiment, word clouds, message maps, and samples of verbatim consumer comments. When you're talking about social engineering, what they want is to close the loop on this. They want to be able to see what's coming out of their social engineering, out of their propaganda, adjust that, and feed it back in. We are in an information war. We're in a psychological operations. Nothing highlights that better than stories like this, where even the FDA, they can't make the excuse that this is in the interest of national security and it needs to be secret and that's why they need to spy on us. They want to spy on us because they want to see if their propaganda is working, because they're failing in the information war. Now, after the program, we're going to have a special report from the InfoWars crew, and John Bound will show you what it looked like when they went down and challenged the fluoridation of the water at a local level. And we're also going to have a report right after the break. We're going to have an interview with Andrew Demeter. Leanne McAdoo talks to him. He was one of the entrants in the Paul Revere contest. If you remember, about a year ago, we had a contest, $100,000 grand prize, $115,000 total prizes. Well, Andrew produced several very good documentaries. A young man. It's a very interesting interview. Stay tuned right after the break.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere. From all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents, radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Well, it seems just about every week someone comes up and asks, how can I do what you do? How do I get started? I want to spread the truth movement. I want to do YouTube channels. I want to get the word out there and help the liberty movement. How do I get started? Well, today I'm going to be speaking with Andrew Demeter. He is a young documentary filmmaker. He submitted films to our contest. His movie Mainstream Media, The Mind Manipulation Medium, was one of my favorites for our Operation Paul Revere contest. His latest film, We the People Genetically Modified, was submitted as part of C-SPAN's annual Student Cam Doc Film Contest. His YouTube channel, Teen Take, features content from MKUltra to GMOs to false flags. And did I mention that he is just 16 years old? So for everyone out there who's asking, how can I do it? Well, today you're going to find out that it's so easy a kid can do it. Respectfully, of course. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Leanne.
I mean, you're only 16. How are you coming across this knowledge? I know they are not teaching that in Common Core.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I really just got started with the internet. The advent of the internet, rather, has been really influential in my awakening process of sorts.
So you didn't have any outside influence from your parents or peers?
Well, no, I was just giving a brief answer right there. But yeah, the number one way that I'd probably classify myself as becoming an activist, as you would describe, is I watched a lot of Jesse Ventura, his previous TV show Conspiracy Theory. Those types of episodes really got me thinking beyond the mainstream thought processes, really. So Jesse Ventura was a big influence, Alex Jones as well, too, not to kiss up to him, but that was really influential in teaching me about 9/11 and all that. So those were just two influences, and that was an awful answer.
No, that was great. So what topics are you most interested in covering? You cover some pretty heavy stuff on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, probably the three most interesting things that I personally think I cover would be GMOs, false flags, and last but not least, the Constitution. GMOs and fluoride too. The whole food supply right now is really under siege by the government. And when you're not feeling fully energized and in mental health, you really can't fight against the tyranny that we're facing. Now, with false flags, that's also another topic that I covered, 9/11 specifically. And it's really incredible. Originally, coming into my activism, I really wouldn't have considered it. But people think, oh, you know, government would never harm its own citizens. But as we've seen in Operation Northwoods, although that was in Cuba, governments are really going to varying degrees to actualize their political policies and agendas. We can even see this in Sandy Hook, depending on whether or not somebody wants to classify that as a false flag. But governments utilize problem, reaction, solution. They create a problem, such as 9/11 or whatever false flag event. They see the reaction of the public, which is usually based on emotive reactions, and then they offer a solution that is pretty much just further erosion of our rights, like the TSA, the NSA, the Patriot Act after 9/11. So those are just some of the three brief, most interesting topics that I cover.
Right, and that's definitely some very good insight. Now, your latest documentary that you worked on dealt with GMOs. Tell me a little bit about the production process there, and why did you choose that topic specifically?
Yeah, well, that documentary was entered in a contest for C-SPAN called Student Cam, and I was originally going to cover drones and the NDAA, some divisive, controversial topic like that, but I actually ended up backing down from that because I had contacted some politicians, some local politicians, to comment on those issues, and before even getting to the politicians themselves, I had to go through this line of command of secretaries and stuff, and they pretty much said after the fact that I announced these topics, you know, we're only going to give you 10 minutes because the typical interview with a congressman or politician only goes for about 10 minutes, which I find difficult to believe. But anyways, after I figured that wasn't going to work and people weren't going to be willing to talk on those issues, I chose the GMO debate because, as I mentioned earlier, food is essential to life. Without food, people die. It transcends all boundaries. And we need to have good, healthy food and be revitalized in our bodies to be fighting this tyranny. So pretty much throughout that production process, I contacted various people involved from all walks of life, ranging from farmers, biologists, grocers, to a lady from the USDA, who I ended up not including for reasons we could talk about if you like, and just a whole slew of people who were involved in that process.
And did you find that a lot of people were really open to discussing it with you, or did you run across a lot of issues there?
I actually ran across a slew of issues. In some cases, the people just flat out said no, like I kind of mentioned, the politicians through their line of command. Other people who were acclaimed experts on the topic of GMOs, like doctors, grocers, health food specialists, etc., they originally said when I contacted them, sure, we'll be glad to do this, we're really interested. And then after I sent them the questions, or maybe after they researched me online, they decided, you know, we probably shouldn't be talking about this because it's too controversial or it could threaten my career and standing on that. So those were just a couple of the problems we ran into, along with the whole host of production problems as well. But ultimately, I think it turned out pretty decently.
Yeah, I think so as well. You covered a lot of material in just a little over seven minutes. And then, of course, as a journalist, you know that getting people to speak on camera about sensitive topics is just one of the hurdles that you have to tackle. But is there any other advice you could have for people who are kind of wanting to do their own documentary filmmaking, or young people just starting out?
Well, for people who are interested in starting activism, first off, I would recommend to pick something, a topic that you are vehemently passionate about, because if you're not passionate about what you're talking about, people are not going to be willing to listen. And also choose topics that are relevant, hot button political topics that people are going to be researching online so you can gain your maximum exposure and get your message out there. Number two, use the materials that you have. Now, with the advent of smartphones, cell phones, mobile devices, you can stream video live in HD on services like Ustream, have that video stored directly in the cloud so you don't have to risk if that device is confiscated by police, as we've seen in various cases of police brutality. That video is live, other people can record it, and it's recorded to the service itself. But you also have to remember that it is a double-edged sword of technocracy, and you can't always trust the services out there, especially since they're not tangible. And number three, forge connections. Connect with people on social media. Without doing that, I wouldn't be here talking to you, Leanne, today. So also, you can network with people, local activists, national activists, and people worldwide. It's really an empowering feeling to have and a really great connection. Number four, choose a creative format to portray your information. One of my personal favorites is doing Man on the Street interviews, because you can connect with other human beings face to face. You can stray away from looking down and texting at your smartphone all day long, and you can actually convey information from one person to another, and it's a great way to wake people up. But as Morpheus from The Matrix would have it, you can only show people the facts and the door, and they themselves have to walk through and deduce their own conclusions. And lastly, number five, get active. Everybody likes using their computer to get information out there, which is a great medium, but you also have to stray away from the armchair activism, get up on your feet, go to local events, and just feel the energy, connect with other human beings, because as we know, there is power in numbers.
That is excellent advice. And that's, we get so many people that are asking, you know, how do I get started? It seems so difficult, you know, and it's like you're putting the entire world on your shoulders. But if you just kind of take these incremental steps, it's not that difficult, and really just getting out there to do it. But I feel like there is such a huge assault against the youth. I definitely do not envy you being 16. I feel like there's so many things that you guys have to deal with now, from mass surveillance to the police state, of course, the GMOs. What do you think is the most important thing for the youth to be concerned about? What's your team take?
Honestly, I wouldn't kind of pinpoint it on a specific issue. Rather, I would say that people in my generation, future generations, previous generations need to simply take the red pill of painful truth and reality instead of continually comforting themselves with the blue pill of illusion and ignorance or blissful ignorance. Because if people just keep ignoring reality, thinking that their life is some video game, that they have fate and they're not in control of their own destiny, they're not going to really be caring. Specifically at school, I was talking with friends a couple months ago about GMOs, trying to educate them, trying to get them to not be simply apathetic to everything. And one girl, one peer actually said, well, you know, I'm going to die anyways, so why should I care if I'm eating GMOs? And I told her, and keep in mind there are varying or contradicting scientific studies on GMOs, but in my mind, I said, I didn't say this, but according to that type of logic, that just bending over and acquiescing to authority, why don't you go shoot heroin and run in traffic? It's completely illogical. People seem to not really care or not even be in tune with reality, and it's just really difficult overall.
Absolutely.
And especially being in school,
yeah.
pretty much just teaches apathy and just really indifference.
Absolutely. Well, I'm so glad to see that there is a youthful member of the truth movement out there. You haven't been corrupted and taken over. So vital for the direction of our country. So what's next for you?
Well, like we kind of talked about, I just finished that documentary for C-SPAN on GMOs, We the People, Genetically Modified. That was a long process indeed. But in the future, I'm currently working on a secretive long-term project, so people can be keeping their ears and eyes open for that. But other than that, I would really like to start some type of blog. I know I haven't been producing weekly videos as I used to, but again, school's been kind of consuming my life recently, as I told you before we started this interview. And other than that, I'm just going to try to keep the doors open for possibilities in the future and try to stay safe because, and I kid you not, this sounds outrageous, but an insider who I know told me that I am indeed on an FBI watch list for supposed connections and people in my circle. So definitely interesting times in which we're living.
Well, that's why it's so important to put yourself out there and just let the world know who you are exactly. And as we reported earlier in the news today, you know, everyone in D.C. is on this no-fly list, apparently, because the TSA requires a state ID. So,
well, and you got to love TSA
yeah.
pre-check, too, where you can pay to have civil liberties.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll definitely encourage everyone to go subscribe to your YouTube channel, Teen Take. And thank you so much for what you're doing for the truth movement.
Thanks for having me on, Leanne. Keep fighting the good fight.
What were you up to when you were just 16? That's unbelievable. Well, be sure to go to his YouTube channel, Teen Take. Subscribe. Come on, Info Warriors. Let's show Andrew some support for what he's doing for the liberty movement. Now, thank you all so much for tuning in tonight. We will see you here again weekdays at 7 p.m. Central.
Just for your information, it is a criminal offense to disrupt a public meeting. If you persist in that kind of behavior, you can potentially be charged with that. I want to let you know that. And we'll go on with our discussion. There's a motion on the table. I want to say, following Councilmember Spellman's, we have listened to evidence on this subject for several years. Five, I'll accept five. We have gone to the trouble to send this item to a council committee and receive testimony from our health department here at the city. We've heard from other experts. I even asked my dentist, and his answer was unequivocal. Yes, fluoride in the water at safe levels is something that we should continue to do. So I've heard no scientific evidence to the contrary. I'll support the motion.
Once again, City Council had no qualms about issuing another four-year round of toxic chemicals into the Austin, Texas water supply.
Hydrofluorocyclic acid has shown to have those symptoms, arthritis. I'm 23 years old. I shouldn't have signs of arthritis.
It's corrosive to the skin, eyes, and mucous membranes through direct contact, inhalation, or ingestion.
Dr. Philip Grandjean at the Harvard School of Public Health and Dr. Philip Landergren, a pediatrician at the Mount Sinai Medical School in New York City, commented, "The developing human brain is uniquely vulnerable to toxic chemical exposures, and major windows of developmental vulnerability occur in utero and during infancy and early childhood. The fetus is not well protected against industrial chemicals. The placenta does not block the passage of environmental toxicants from the maternal to the fetal circulation, and more than 200 foreign chemicals have been detected in umbilical cord blood." They conclude disorders of neurobehavioral development affect 10 to 15% of all births, and prevalence of autism spectrum disorder and attention deficit disorder seem to be increasing worldwide.
We're telling you the truth. It's not like those facts are made up. It's like this is a toxic chemical. It's not necessary in our water, and we're spending $2 million on this.
Having fluoride in the water, all the research I've done, it's not good for us.
Regardless of those voices that were cut in half by Mayor Lee Leffingwell in violation of Articles 2527 and 2529 of the Austin City Code.
It's within our authority to limit testimony to any amount that we would choose, so I'll entertain a suggestion.
A unanimous vote awarded Florida-based Mosaic LLC up to $2,290,900 of taxpayer dollars to essentially poison themselves.
Poison control?
Yeah, I need to speak to somebody about fluoride. Should I be concerned about my child or myself swallowing this?
If they get more than a mouthful, I would want you to call us. Otherwise, normally we just recommend chew up some Tums or drink a glass of milk because that helps bind up the fluoride.
Okay. Well, I also read that the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, allows this amount in a single glass of drinking water. If my kid drinks more than one glass of water per day, should I call you?
I wouldn't expect so, no. I was going to say I'm not sure.
Doesn't that make sense, though?
Yeah, no, I understand. Your logic is perfectly, it makes complete sense to me.
The council members are not ignorant of the consequences of water fluoridation. Back in 2011, fluoridation expert Dr. Paul Connett and dentist Dr. E. Griffin Cole presented fact after indisputable fact to the council.
They cited a review in 1993, and as you've already seen, their proposal that fluoridation was coming, tooth decay was coming down in the United States because the percentage of the population drinking fluoridated water was going up was either totally incompetent, meaning they weren't aware of the World Health Organization data, which showed that these declines were going on in nearly every country, whether it was fluoridated or not.
But in the end, the love affair with the aluminum and phosphate mining industries won the day. Since 1945, 69 years later, fluoride, a topical medication, continues to be ingested by the majority of the United States of America.
And to educate yourself and your family, please visit PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWarsStore.com.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run, and the InfoWars army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply.
Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.